Welcome, everybody, to the Insightful Journey, a podcast where we talk about tarot, spirituality, and who knows what else. Anyway, my name is Charlie Kruszewski, one of the hosts, and I am joined by my co-host.
Hey, guys, it's Jameson. How are you guys doing today?
Perfect. Hey, can you believe we are on episode 2?
No, not at all. I knew it was going to go. It's just, you know, my own personal anxiety going,
I know. We got the first one up, so it's like, okay, this is easy. Now I know all the details, and we should get rocking and rolling. All right, so have you heard anything from any feedback on our first episode?
Most of the feedback I've gotten has been through, like, people on our Facebook page and everybody that I've talked to, but not many people have actually gotten input from. Like, I think 3 people have told me, but they're people that I, like, and they're, like, newer to my world, so, like, they're not, like, already invested in me personally, so they, like, loved it. And, like, one person said that they laughed a lot through it, and I was like, I hope I said funny things, because,
No, we were funny. We had some jokes in there. Yeah, a couple of my friends that know me listen to the podcast, and they're like, man, you guys did a great job. Can't wait, for more episodes. They're going to listen to them all. They really enjoyed it. So I think that's really positive for our first ever attempt doing this.
Yeah, it was, like, better received than I expected. Like, I had always been one of those people, like, expect the worst, so when you get the best, you're, like, super happy about it.
Yeah, true. And I think I took a lot of the pressure off, because I was like, we're going to grow and build as this thing happens. So I didn't have any real expectations for what this was going to happen. Mm-hmm. So I was just going to let it become what it is. And now I have a cat right here who wants attention. Hello, Mr. Poe.
Hello.
So if you hear some purring, yes, it is my cat. Thank you very much. Anyway.
Yeah, if it was mine, you'd hear it.
Drools like a mastiff. I don't know how that cat drools like that.
One of our cats, when you pet him and he's purring, he drools all over you. I'm like, okay, great. I get kitty love, extra kitty love.
I love you, but I don't like my face getting
wet.
Hey,
Poe, stop. No. You can't bump the microphone. So. Okay, all that bumping was my cat. Thank you very much.
That's funny. Cat butt.
Everywhere. All right, okay, let's get into this episode. We ended the last one, and you had a vision of, like, an apple. You saw an apple. Did anyone mention that, or did you see anything about the apple? Any follow-up?
You know, I think I need to remind people that I've talked to about it, but, like, for me personally, the only apple sighting I've even had, I just don't feel that it was it, and it was just 2 apples yesterday when my daughter wanted some fruit, but I know that wasn't it. And I'm just super curious, because, like, when I get those feelings, those are the times where, like, I get affirmations and, like, from my guides and stuff. So I'm just like, who is it for? Like, what's the apple mean? Is it even an apple? Or maybe it's New York, you know? I don't know.
To be honest, man, my first thought was, because I'm a total Apple guy, iPhone, you know, MacBook, you know, that I'm recording this on. Mm. So I was like, ooh, am I going to get some new computer equipment? But no, that didn't work out. So
it's not for us. I feel that strongly, for sure.
All right. In the middle of that, one of the cats walked across the computer, paused the recording. So I don't know how much of that conversation we just lost.
Oh, that's hilarious.
This is going to be the fun editing show. All right, and welcome to this episode, the second episode of The Insightful Journey. And I had a feeling that this episode should be really focused on tarot. That's kind of the thing that connected Jameson and I in the first place, our love for tarot and our readings and so on. So I wanted to do an episode pretty much fully on tarot. Let's see. Okay, yeah, let's start with this. Hey, Jameson, so what does, like, tarot and tarot reading, what does that mean to you?
You know, that, like, one of the things I found funny is, like, tarot just always, to me, felt, like, naturally a part of me. Like, I almost can't even remember when it started. Like, I know exactly when it started. I was, like, 8 or 9. I thought I was older, but then I realized that my friend that introduced me, like, it was shortly after we met, and I was 8 when we met.
Huh.
And, like, I just, like, the first time I saw tarot, I was like, I can do that. And it was, like, not a question of, like, ooh, will I be able to? It was like, no, I, like, knew. It's like, I can do this, and was super interested, like, straight from the start. And it, like, to me, it's always meant, like, intuitive connection to, like, the energy of the universe. And, like, as goofy as it sounds, it's, like, almost like that you're plugging in yourself to the bigger computer to find information, or opening the encyclopedia to find an answer to something.
Oh, cool. Nice.
It's like a, like, to me, it was always, like, a guidepost. Mm. And, like, I never, like, never once in my life have I been like, oh, I'm psychic. No, I don't think or feel that I'm personally psychic. I think that I'm intuitive. I, like, you know, like, when you talk to somebody and you immediately feel they're not a good person, or you immediately go, I love this person. They are going to be my mm-hmm. friend. And, like, I wonder if it's, like, subtle gestures that they're making, the way they talk, the way they hold themselves, or is it, like, my gut? I never felt like it was, like, I'm having a psychic moment with them. It's like, I wonder what I'm seeing that I don't even realize I'm seeing.
Yeah, know? Yeah, I know exactly what that is. Yeah, I always tell people I'm just a very intuitive guy. I pick up on subtle things all the time. I don't even realize that I'm picking up on things. I can meet you and talk with you, and I'll just connect on so many levels, and you'll think that I know 300 things about you, and I'm lucky if I remember your name, you know, so it's crazy. So, you know, it kind of, sometimes it works against me, because people just immediately go, oh, yeah, he's so cool, he knows this, he does this. I'm like, okay, but it's fun. Tarot for,
I totally
yeah,
get it.
Yeah, tarot is like the tool for me. I need the thing. I have tried, you know, because everyone's like, oh, anyone can be a psychic. You just have to take these classes, do this, you know. And I've gone through many different steps, you know, all the meditation, this. I'm like, on my own, without like a tool in my hand, I'm just like, I got nothing. I seriously got nothing. But give me a deck of tarot cards, give me that, just something so I can, I guess maybe it's just so I have that focus. And then mm-hmm. in a reading, I can tell you all kinds of things. I can connect so good. And it's just having, I guess, really that tool in my hand. So that's kind of where that all comes yeah. from for me.
That's great. And like, okay, that thought went by, so we're moving
okay.
on there.
All right, so anyway, I'm just going to dive into this. So there are tarot decks, there's oracle decks. You know, what's the difference? What makes one the other? For a tarot deck, there are very specific rules, I guess, or there's specifications to be a tarot deck. Tarot deck is 78 cards. The traditional deck is 78 cards. 22 of those cards are the major arcana cards. They're numbered 0, the Fool, all the way up to the World, which is number 21. And then you have 4 suits. Cups, wands, swords, pentacles. There's other names for those sometimes too, whatever. Those are the basic names for them. Each suit runs the ace through 10, those cards. And then there are court cards, the 4 court cards. Traditionally, it is page, knight, queen, and king. And that comprises a tarot deck. If it does not have that structure, that order, it is not a tarot deck. I don't care what the title on the box says, because I've seen the Oracle Tarot. I'm like, no, dude, you can't be both. You know, you just really can't. So that's really the thing about a tarot deck. It has to be in that structure. Oracle decks, yeah. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, sorry. Oh, no worries. I was kind of like, didn't mean to interrupt. I had a yeah. question. Just because I always like to hear your thoughts on it. I did realize that my like personal favorite deck right now is the Forger's Daughter. The one that's, it's been calling to me constantly. Uh-huh. And they have extra 5 higher arcana cards in this deck. And so it's actually 83 cards. I literally just was confirming that. So is there anything I should pay attention to or do differently because it's not the same?
No, there are decks that do the whoever creates the deck will throw in a couple extra major arcana cards, kind of give you a little deeper insight on things. It depends on, you know, when they put the deck together, if they feel they need this. I don't have a problem. I have 2 or 3 decks that have extra cards. I have one deck that I have to remember when I grab it. There's three lovers cards in it. There's the traditional man and woman depicted on the card. There's a lover's card with 2 women on the card. And there's a lover's card with 2 men on the card. So it's, you know, totally...
Oh, okay. That's kind of
Yeah,
nice,
so it's kind of like open for everything. And then I just have to remember if I grab that deck, it's like, okay, you know, if it's, you know, mainly, you know, same-sex couples, you know, I can swap that in or at least pull 2 of those lover's cards out of there. I have decks that are kind of, how do you describe it? They're instead of the traditional, they do some gender bending with some of the cards and so on. And you can read those with any audience. It really doesn't matter. I do have 2 decks that are like gay-focused cards. They're more specific for, you know, being a gay man, you know, I have a deck that's really focused on male and all the male energy. And there's decks out there with women energy. There's nothing wrong with that. Just know your audience. Use the right deck when you're doing readings for people. Mm-hmm. This kind of thing. Yeah. And yeah, that.
What's great, though, is that, like, in the community here, a lot of, people that are into and love tarot are usually, like, more open-minded people. So we have a lot less worry when it comes to that. But yeah, like you said, you gotta like make sure you know your audience.
Yeah, I just love figuring out a deck. Usually, like when I'm going to an event, you know, I go look at, I just cleaned up and organized all my stuff. I counted, I actually have 100 tarot decks.
That's so crazy.
I have no idea
That's
how that
so
happened.
Awesome.
But yeah, 100. No, I have not used all of them for readings. There's 3 decks I don't think I will ever use for a reading. They're just too fancy, too nice. It's like, ooh, no, that's like a special occasion deck. And in 3 years, I haven't found that special occasion. So
I totally get that. Like, I think the hardest part about me using Forger's Daughter is that I'm so in love with it that, like, I want to be delicate with it. You know, like, I want to use you all the time, but also I don't want you to get beat up. But then I really can't wait for that moment when I've had the deck forever and you can see the cards have been handled and used. Like, that wonderful, warm look. It's hard to explain.
Oh, yeah, believe me, I know. I have, actually, my Wild Unknown deck, I've actually bought 3 of those over the years. Because, you know, I started with that deck, and basically that first deck, I wore it until it, I mean, I used it till it was worn out. Some of the cards are so worn, it's just by shuffling the deck, I know what card it is, because I can see it's worn. I've gotten used to how it got worn. So,
like, there's a ding on this one card. I know that's the
Chariot.
Yeah,
see? Exactly. Actually, one of the cards has got, like, a chip out of the back, or it's, like, on the backing. There's a thing, and that's Justice. I always know that corner, and I know what corner it's in, so I know whether Justice is going to be upright or reversed, you know, before I even turn it. I know, I cheat sometimes, you know, but hey, I think, you know, hey, George wouldn't have let that happen if he didn't want me to know. That's all I know. That's all
right.
I'm saying. Okay, so that's the basic on tarot decks. How is an oracle deck different from that? Oracle decks, there's basically no rules. There's no real structure. It can be from 10 cards to 3,000 cards, whatever the person who made the oracle deck wants it to be. I would say it could be focused on anything, but a lot of tarot decks are all themed to different things. So that's kind of the thing. But there's no that structure. Some oracle decks do have major arcana and minor arcana, but it's an oracle deck isn't broke down into suits, court cards, and all that stuff. So oracle decks are kind of more free-flowing. Nothing wrong with oracle decks. I have friends that use those and give amazing readings. I just don't connect with them.
Yeah, they haven't called to me, and the one thing I've always tried to do with my when I
either purchase or like want a deck is like, does it really call to me? Is this what I want? Mm-hmm. Like, I have like one deck that I thought I called to me and I was so wrong, and I just have like no like want or need to.
Oh yeah. I have a couple of decks. And actually, I've gotten rid of them. There's one in, because I always go and I look, and it's always the artwork that gets me. I was like, oh, that looks really good, really good. Mm-hmm. I got it home, took it out, looked at everything. I was like, okay, well, maybe this will grow on me. Who knows? And then I did a reading with it. I'm like, like every card. I was like, no, yuck, no, no. So I was like, okay.
I totally get it. Yeah, and like the person that does the art for them, it's funny, they have to have the ability, and like this is not easy in art, to show this, like the symbols on the cards have to like give you that feeling. I don't know how to explain mm-hmm. it. Like the symbolism of the cards in some form or fashion has to represent what the basic meaning of the card is, so that you can start to get your thoughts and insight from just the
yes.
pictures.
Yes, exactly. It's and some you connect to that really easy, and some you don't. I can't remember which deck. I want to say it's the Fountain Tarot. Maybe it's really nice. It's like watercolor. It's very misty kind of. I mean, it's just really beautiful deck. Beautiful deck. But there's three or four cards in that deck. I see it. I go to do a reading. I'm like, that's not. I'm not getting the meaning of that card off of the image on that deck. So it mm-hmm. makes me kind of, other than that, I love that deck, but there's like three or four cards and I'm like, whoa, that's not it. I know what this card means and that's not it, It's like the Three of Swords has, happy puppies bouncing around. That's not the Three of Swords.
It's so funny. Yeah, no, I actually just pulled the Three of Swords the other day in a reading.
The Wild Unknown, it's like a heart and three swords just jammed right into it. It's all like, okay, look, if that doesn't tell you what that means,
right.
It's like, this is obvious. I think it's Wild Unknown. I don't know, one of my decks, it's like that. It's just like, ooh, as soon as you see it, bad thing.
Yep, I totally.
Okay, so here's a question. Do you have a favorite tarot card, or is there a card that, like, stalks you?
Yeah, definitely. Like, so my personal favorite, which actually grew on me over time, was Death.
Ooh.
But my card is definitely the Emperor. The only problem I have with knowing that is it makes me feel, what's... like the word for like not prideful, but I feel like I'm being almost cocky, okay. and that's not what I mean. It's just I know that card represents like maybe it represents how I like handle my own mind and like my stability of like it's when I want to be like extremely charismatic. Okay. I know I can actually turn it on, and that's what I get from the Emperor, is that like feeling of how I can make my brain
work. Okay, nice. Emperor for me is always like boundaries, rules. Know what you're doing before you do it. Make every plan. Make everything lined up. It's very structured for me. Emperor's a very tough card, but he's good. I like him. When I started, it was funny because I was like, I knew what the Fool was. And so the Fool was my card. And I told everybody, I'm just a fool on a journey. I don't know nothing, but I'm going to find out, and that was my card. And then it suddenly switched to the Hanged Man. And that card drove me crazy for a while. And it just kept showing up, And I have I found some artwork online, like posters. I've ordered them. I've got, if you came to my house, you'd see like the Hanged Man everywhere. And it's like, I'm like, okay, you're going to haunt me. You're going to be everywhere. So but I love that card. I really love the card.
You turned it around.
Heck yeah. I was like, come on, man. You're going to haunt me. I'm going to haunt you. How about that? Nah, 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 nah.
On the polar opposite, I got a question for you. What card
are you scared to see?
Ooh.
Like, it has just dawned on me, but it seems like something that, like, is
ooh,
important.
Ooh, the reverse, the reverse. Wow. Now you're going to make me think about this. The card that I always had the hardest time reading, I just recently figured out, was Judgment.
Ooh.
Yeah, Final Judgment, that one. I think it's because on, you know, Rider-Waite-Smith and all the, you know, the traditional imagery, it's so Gabriel blowing his horn and everyone, you know, being called to heaven. And it, I have issues sometimes with organized religion like that. So it's just to see that, like, in my face, I'm like, what do you want me to say? You know, it's sometimes it's that was the toughest card for me. So I don't think I'm really scared of any card.
Yeah, I totally understand.
What about you? So you asked me.
So like, what the one that I like? I'm not saying that I'm scared of, but like, I'm don't know why, but it always feels like, oh no, not that. Is the Ten of Swords?
Oh, okay. Well, I can see that.
And like, I think that one's more because of emotional damage, like a little bit of trauma from like losing my dad and stuff. And I think it somehow registers or triggers that, you know.
Yeah, Ten of Swords, that is not a happy card, for sure. Not a happy card. I always tell people when it comes up in a reading, it's all like, okay, look at it this way. You're at rock bottom. And the only way to go from here is up, you know.
Yeah, and it's like there, like you knowing that, like knowing about those sad or painful or bad things, it's only as bad as you handle
it. Yeah, exactly, exactly. That's a good take on it. I like that. Oh, trying to think. I've heard of some other tricky cards people have tricks with, or I know of some people have stumbled over the Hierophant, and I was like, how. I don't know. To me, that one's always been easy. It's like, dude, structured learning. You need to learn something.
Yeah,
you got to find the teacher. The teacher's going to teach you what you need to know. But it's, you can't just do a Google search for this. I mean, you got to like, you got to find someone and get the knowledge from a person. So.
That's so ironic. The reading I did last night, did a basic three-card spread. And before I flipped the cards, I knew all my guys were like, take that card, take that card, the top card. They were just like, that needs to be in this reading right now. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm not gonna ignore you. So I grabbed it, and like, it made me laugh because I knew it was gonna be like, not the Hierophant, but I knew it was a major card. And it was the Hierophant, and immediately it was like, oh, like, and it was like, the, since it was like the fourth card kind of out of place, the like vibe I was getting off the card was like what the person needed to hear to get to the right place. And I immediately felt, oh, you need to go see a specialist in the field of whatever your problem is.
Yeah.
And it was right. And she said that it like was spot on. And she did seek someone of that like education department. I'm trying not to like talk about her reading, so. And it was spot on, and it was like, that was probably one of the most powerful readings I've had, where like I had intuition from the moment I picked up the cards.
Nice.
I knew exactly what she was thinking and talking about, and my guides were so talkative, and like Freya came out right off the rip and was like, blah blah blah, that's what she is, needs, this is what her problem is. And then she immediately was like, you need to let her know that I'm supporting her, that I'm there for her. And I was like, wow, like Freya is the one that always gives me those funny hints, like the apple that came from Freya.
Okay. Nice.
The something blue for you like a while ago, that was Freya. She always gives me those weird like little, I don't know, look out for this kind of thing, but never really chit chats.
Never really deeper than that.
Right.
Cool. Okay.
Didn't mean to get
sidetracked. Yeah, no problem. Well, we're kind of into it, so let's see. How do I want to jump into this?
Oh, well, you know what? I want to know, Charlie, for you, what was the first time in what deck, when you saw it, it was calling your name, and you knew that that was going to be a major, like, perfect deck for you?
Gotta narrow it down. The first one, or just anyone? Because there's been a few.
No, it, like, I would say whichever one is the first thing that pops in your mind. It doesn't have to be the first one, yeah. But, like, it's the one that's, like, yelling at you right now. Like, it's me.
Oh,
it's
God.
Me.
Well, right now, and I'm using it a lot, is the Pulp Tarot. It's all the cards are basically, you know, like pulp magazines, you know, they'll, you know, just that kind of funky 50s, 60s vibe. Huh. All of the cards have imagery like that. Like the Eight of Wands is like a total souped up Camaro, and like the tires are spinning, you know, smoke, you know. So it's like, boom, line up, going fast down the road, you know. I mean, all of the images on it, it's just like, bam, bam, bam. I love it so much because it's serious, and yet it's fun at the same time. I love all that. I'm using that on my TikTok videos. So if you go find me on TikTok, Charlie, whoever I am, I forget what it is. Anyway,
TikTok.
Yeah, I do some TikTok videos. I pull like 3 cards a day. I've been trying to get into that, get my TikTok going. Anyway, I'm using that deck. So if you go find one of those videos, you'll see those cards. I love those ones. I was getting ready to go to an event. I had just bought a couple decks, and usually, like, if I'm going to an event to do readings, I'll look at all my decks, and I'll just kind of feel out and go, okay, who wants to come? Who wants to stay? I bring 3 or 4 decks with me. And I had just bought this one deck. It was, I'm going to screw up the name. It's Fyodor Pavlov. It's Fyodor Pavlov Tarot. Anyway, it's this guy created this deck. He's a great artist, and he kind of queered some of the cards, gender bent them. Yeah, I mean, it's really cool. I mean, beautiful artwork. And I get up to, it was actually in Virginia City, and start doing readings. I'm like trying to pull out my decks, figure out, and it was like, use this one. And that's the only deck I used that entire weekend. And it was just amazing, the readings that I got up there. It was nuts.
Is Pavlov's Law the one about, is there's a cat in the box, or there's not a cat in the box, or is the cat in the box dead, or does the box not exist?
No,
is that Pavlov's Law?
That's Schrodinger's cat.
Schrodinger.
Because the cat's in the box with a vial of poison, and you basically break the vial open. So it's like, is the cat alive or dead? And so it's the old thought experiment. And it's like, you don't know until you observe. Until you look in the box, you don't know if the cat's alive or dead. So that's the whole Schrodinger's cat.
And then the question, like, does it even exist in the box if you don't know it's in the box?
Exactly. If the lid's on the box and you don't know, is it in there? Or is it in both states? Is it alive or dead? Or is it in both states? And until you look, you don't know.
Right. I have to look up now because I know something about, there's like a
Pavlov is, he's the guy with the reaction. He rang the bell before he fed the dogs and they would start salivating.
So
conditioned response is Pavlov. It's a conditioned response, so that you can do that. And then you got to the point where he just ring the bell and the dogs would start salivating even if they weren't being fed. That kind of thing.
Gotcha.
So Pavlov is conditioned response. But yeah, this deck is beautiful, and that's one of the ones that I've used. All right, so what about you? I know the Forger's Daughter. I know that one because I got it for you, because you were just I got to have it. I got to have it. And I just knew you needed that deck. I knew it would be the perfect deck. But anyway, other than that, what else?
I would say that, like, so I had come out of, like, a really bad relationship. And it was a while ago before I met my wife. And it was a long relationship where she had a lot of mental issues that I couldn't help her with. So we had to part ways. After we broke up, I was going, you know, down. This is sad. It sucks. And one of my friends from school, from high school, who I hadn't seen in like 10 or 15 years, she calls me up and she's like, you should come visit me in Arizona. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm poor. I don't know how I pull that off. And she's like, no, like, check your email. And so I checked my email and she had sent me round trip tickets to Arizona for 14 days and was telling me, like, no, like, bring what you can. I'm making sure this happens and we have, like, you need this. And it was literally the most thoughtful thing anybody's ever done.
Oh, wow. That's nice.
that didn't want something back from me.
Yeah,
you know what
yeah.
I mean? And so she took me to Sedona, and we're walking around Sedona, and we walk into like a crystal metaphysical mm-hmm. store, and we're
which
walking
is every other store, every other store in Sedona. No.
Oh yeah,
that's
definitely.
A huge place. I love, like, I love the energy of that place. Sorry to interrupt that.
Oh yeah, no, you're just fine. No, you're 100% right. That place is wonderful. Very Manitou Springs, Colorado feel too.
Okay.
And we walk into one, and I'm walking by, and I see all the tarot decks, and of course I got to stop and take a gander now, you know. And I think at the time my brain was searching for dragons for some reason, which is funny because I really don't feel any major connection to dragons. I think it was more of like, ooh, dragons are cool.
Okay.
And I see medieval cats.
Oh.
And I am immediately like, I love cats. I literally did medieval reenactment and tournament fighting. Like, this is all 100% me and knew okay. it. And I was like, oh my gosh. And at this time, I was like brainwashed with the, oh, you can't, like, a deck that you want to use per, you know, should be gifted.
Oh,
to
yeah.
you. And so, like, and I'm like, but no. And I'm not going to ask somebody that's done so much for me to get this. No, I'm not doing that. And so I picked it up. I'm looking at him. I'm like, I had the money, but I'm like, you know? And so like I picked it up, and then I like held onto it, and then I put it back, and then like was walking by, and I'm like, maybe I will, and picked it up again. And then like decided, okay, I really probably shouldn't spend this money on right now. It's sad, but I could find the deck if I want it, you know? And when we got back to her place, she's like, hey, I got this for you. And I'm like, that is, like, I was like, freaking figures. Did I cause this to happen? Because I'm like, I'm not going to ask for it. And that deck has always been, like, I immediately knew, like, it was also the deck where I learned, oh, all those little weird rules are BS. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, like, that was the deck that gave me that feeling that you do what is right for you in reading. And I absolutely love it. The imagery is fantastic.
That's awesome.
I always understand each card when I pull mm-hmm. them, and I've always felt like perfect with that deck. And so, yeah, that was my first like love that called
awesome.
To me.
That's awesome. Yeah, those are the main deck. I don't know. I go back and forth. It always depends. Some new flashy deck will be out there and get my eye, you know. Well, obviously, I got 100 of them somehow.
And as readers, I think we go... as readers, we go through phases, too, because, like, when, like, Forger's Daughter, I'm all, like, I want to use it all mm-hmm. the time, but on certain readings, I'm like, this isn't the one for this one
yeah.
right now.
Yeah, exactly.
And also, like, I love giving my clients... an option. I think people just love options. Mm-hmm. And I like that too, because I feel that if they choose one specifically as a reader myself, I'll have an even deeper understanding for them.
Okay.
When, like, if they pick the Crow deck over Cats or Forger's Daughter, I'll, like, I get a different feeling from that mm. one right off the rip by them choosing
yeah.
that.
Yeah. In person, I've done that sometimes, but it really, a lot of times it comes down to what I'm feeling for the reading. It's because, you know, I'm the one giving the reading. So, you know, like you said, everybody's different. This is just how I do it. There's no right or wrong way. I do a lot of events, and you know, people are coming in. Some people have never had a tarot reading before. Some people, you know, have had several and they just want another one. And so I find giving them that choice sometimes just adds an extra layer on them. I mean, especially some people, they're like, I don't know, you choose. So I was like, when I'm at an event, I do it. If I have clients doing it, it's whatever deck I end up grabbing that I feel is the one to mm-hmm. use. I do a lot of my rings, like if they're distance, we'll do like a FaceTime call and do it. So yeah, they can see me, I can see them. And there was one time I was going in for a reading. This lady had booked a reading, and I had like two decks. I was pretty sure which one I was going to use. And then I was like, as soon as we connected and said hi and whatever, I was like, nope. Other deck, yeah. It was just like immediately. I mean, I'm sure the first deck would have been fine, but it was just a better connection on the other deck, which You know, you being a reader, you understand how that works.
Oh, yeah. There's times where I'm like, I love my Crow deck and use it pretty often. And there's times where I picked it up and gone, oh, no. You need the cards, dude. And you just know. You do. Follow your instincts.
Exactly. That's really what you have to do. I'm so bad at it. I just follow my instincts. What was I going to say? Whoom! Okay, there went my thoughts. See? Time for me to go.
We're just throwing thoughts out.
We are, man. We're just ripping through here. Oh my god, we can talk about this forever. Okay, so going into routine. So I want to know like how you do it, and I'll ask you how you do it. You know, do a reading. Like, how do you shuffle? How do you pick the cards? So on and so forth, and then I'll go through like the things I do. So
that's so funny because I was literally just thinking to myself, I wanted to know from you how you pick your cards, and that's just funny. I definitely am very interested in like what our routines are and how differently we do them. To begin with, I started within the last like 2 years actually setting a routine to my readings, where before I was just like off the cuff, you know, gun from the hip. And then I started like my first major breakthrough for me reading was stop asking the person their question or what they want insight in. That has changed my whole tarot world, and I can't believe I didn't do it before, but I think it was majorly like a confidence issue. And like then I also started realizing that the person I'm doing the reading for, they need to be put them in the best calmed, open situation that they can get themselves in. So like my routine starts with them, and like I love if they have the time and the ability, and you know they'll know if it's right for them, but like to clear their mind, get their head like as cleared as they can, and I really want them to get grounded. And I'm not talking like grounded, I mean I want you barefoot touching the earth if possible. Because it's all about intention. Like, you don't have to be barefoot touching the earth. If you, put the intention that I want to be barefoot to the earth, it's snowing outside. I'm not putting my feet in the earth. But the action itself, everybody is connected to the earth. And it really, really is good for you. And one of the things I learned in shamanism is that things that you spend too much time thinking about, it's like they call kind of like heavy energy.
Okay.
And it's not a bad thing. No. It's just like, but if you hold on to something heavy for so long, you're going to get worn out. Mm-hmm. And Mother Earth eats that. And she returns light energy to you. And so I started taking part of my like shaman routine and integrating that into my reading for them. So they're putting, I want them to put their question or thought into their mind when they're clear, and then offer that to Mother Earth. Okay. And she's going to suck it up. And that also helps them, whether they know it or not, give up some of their heavy energy so that Mother Earth can give them replacement light energy.
Okay, cool. I like that.
And that's kind of the simplified version. And then when I do my thing, it'll come to me. And I've found that the people are way, like, I gain a connection to them when they do that, because then the next step is for me to meditate, clear ground, and, you know, get ready. And I think it's wonderful, and I love that part of my routine. Now we're getting into the cards and how we pick them. I always felt connected to, I loved shuffling, like clearing my mind, giving out the intent to be open, so that I can do a clear, unbiased reading. And then I love to take my cards and put them in a giant arch.
Okay.
And if I feel it's not, like, if it calls to me, I'll pull the cards from the top or whatnot. And especially if a card jumps out, that one's in the reading. And then I always spend time, like hovering my hand over the cards. And I'll get a straight up, like, physical feeling.
Okay.
It'll be like a little tickle or a twinge or like almost like I'm about to shudder. Like you hear like a sound or something rubs you weird and you're like, ooh.
Yeah.
And then I'll find it. And I.
Oh no. Oh no, in the middle of that. I lost you. Okay, no, you were you dropped at a perfect spot because you were just saying that you get you know, an actual physical feel and you just know exactly when, you know, what card.
Oh, great, great. I don't think that we missed much. Yeah, it's I actually now I can tell the difference between the feeling of just a tickle that naturally coming on my skin or like the card telling me this is the right one. Yeah, and that's my routine, and also like listening to my guides. Mm-hmm. Like there's times where it's like I'm doing a spread basic three card and the guides are like, oh, you need to do this, and you need more, these cards need to be here, like you need to pull from the deck again, or you know, it's trusting your gut. Trusting in your gut, and like if you get a feeling, whether it's just your mind going hey blah blah blah, if you get the, oh, but I want to get that card. Like, it could be the thread you need to tie it all together. Mm-hmm. And I've found that, like, yeah, your own intuition, but that's not always right for everybody. Like, I know that you and I are more, like, following our intuitive, like, feelings towards reading. And not everybody is like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, that's my way of doing readings, and I'm really interested in how you do yours, Charlie. So you got to tell me.
Okay. All right. So, I pull cards and then I give the meaning, and that's what I do. Boring, huh? Okay. No.
You know, that is extremely like straight to the point.
Okay. I'm a wise guy, you know. I have to joke around. So you were so serious good on that. It's like, I'm gonna have to make a little laugh. And then, that is.
I put the paintbrush in the paint, and then I put the paintbrush on the wall.
See?
You know, that's it.
What you do. It's easy. Anyone can do it. Okay. So anyway, that's really cool. I love hearing how people do it because everybody does it different, but yet the readings are so amazing. Me early on, I was all like, okay, you know, I'd always heard, don't ever let anybody touch your tarot deck. Oh my God, if they touch your deck, it's going to be ruined. You'll never be able to read with it again. Oh my God. I was like, nope. I am reading for that person. I need their energy. So if we are face to face, I hand you my deck and say, shuffle them. And when you think about what it is you want to know about while you're shuffling, when you feel that you've shuffled those cards enough, hand it back to me. Before I do all that, you know, get ready. I used to do like a little meditation kind of thing, just a quick grounding. I make sure I'm good on that. You know, it used to take me a little while to get into it. I've been doing it for so long now. I kind of have a routine. It's almost like I flipped the switch in my head. I actually do have a picture. You know, like the old Frankenstein movies, and they had that big, you know, lever, and all the sparks would go when they pulled the lever. That's kind of what I see in my head, and I just flip that, and I'm like, okay, boom, ready to go. You know, and my guides are like, ooh, he's turned on, watch out, here we go. And so, you know, that, I mean, it's just quick bam, bam, bam. I'm like, okay, I'm ready to go. If it's a distant reading, like I said, I do a FaceTime call, you know, start talking to the person and tell them, and go, hey, I'm going to start shuffling the cards. When you feel that I've shuffled them enough, tell me to stop. We'll do the reading. I tell them, don't tell me their question. I don't want to know. I don't know what, you know, right. I don't even want to know what general area of your life you want this on. I don't care. I don't want to know nothing.
Yeah.
No information at all. I learned early on, if you told me or if you hinted at what you wanted, I'm so intuitive, I'm going to give you the reading you want to hear. Which is different than the reading you need to get. Let that sink in, because the words, you know, the message that you want to hear versus the message you need to hear. And so I'm like, okay, because other people have told me and I do a reading. I'm like, yeah, I just told him exactly what he wanted to hear. So it's like, no, doesn't work. So for me, I have to go in blind. Mm-hmm. I use the Celtic Cross spread for my readings. It's just 10 cards. It's what I've always done. It's what I learned, and it builds a good journey for me. There's several variations how you lay it out. I'll just run through it real quick how I do it. First card, always in the center, is the situation. second card, you know, you turn it sideways on top of that card. That's either crossing the situation or enhancing the situation. So there's your first two cards. Easy to go. Right below that is the third card. For me, that's the foundation. Why is the situation happening? What energies were there? You know, kind of building this, supporting it, whatever. And then I go to the left side of those cards and flip a card, and that's the past. And so that's usually something that's happened in the past. It's either an action that you took. It's really more, it's evolved to become more of something you just need to acknowledge that happened. It's either something you did. Maybe it's something you're not happy that you did or you're not proud about. It's okay. Just acknowledge that it happened. Then you can move forward. You know, stop trying to hide shit, basically.
Right.
You know, acknowledge it. Move forward. It's fine. It's cool. Yes, you happened. Yeah, you're not that person anymore. Just move on. And then above all the cards, so going around kind of in a clockwise pattern and on top of the first two cards or above them is the next card. And that's present. That's kind of where the person is now. And then to the right of those cards, you know, so I'm making the circle, is for me the near future. Near future card always happens in the next 30 days. I don't know why. I don't know how. It just happens. If whatever I tell you that card with that energy in that card, it's going to happen within the next month. I have yet to have anyone tell I have yet to have anyone tell me that didn't work out. So I'm not trying to brag. I'm not trying to be cocky, but I'm just telling you, this is my track record, you know?
Humble brag.
That's just my track record. So that's the first six cards. And then over to the right side, I do four cards. I start at the bottom and just kind of build upwards. And the first card is that part. You know, the first six cards are kind of the situation. The four cards are kind of more directly related to the person getting the reading. The bottom card is them, where they are right now. The next card is external. External pressure or how people see you or the energies coming from outside of you. The card above that is internal, how you're feeling, how you're dealing with. Yeah, and then the final card is the outcome card for me. So I always say it's just the direction you're heading, what the energies are right now. Outcomes are not set in stone. You have free will. You can make changes and you can make choices. This is just, if you continue on the way you're going, this is where I see you ending up. And that is pretty much how I do my readings.
That's great. And like, especially where you, at the end where you're talking about like, hey, this is not, you know, the outcome is your decision. A lot of people have that innate fear that when you tell them a possible outcome, that's that, especially if they don't want to hear what you have to say.
Exactly.
And it's like, no, you are the one with the power. You're the one that makes all the decisions. Like, yeah, there's outside forces that can push you, but like in the end, you can change everything.
Yeah. Nothing is set in stone. One of my friends, actually, Patty Negri, famously says this. She goes, you know, I could be the greatest psychic in the world. I could tell you everything and anything about you. She goes, I could do a reading on you and tell you that next Tuesday you walk out your front door that a bird is going to poop on you. And, you know, of course, everyone laughs. And then they go, and once you have that knowledge, what are you going to do? You could go out your door Tuesday morning, get pooped on by the bird, and yes, I'm the greatest psychic in the world. Two, you could go out your back door, because I didn't say anything about going out your back door. I said your front door. The bird didn't poop on you. Now I'm a fake and I'm a fraud. Or you just sit in your house all day Tuesday. It's not set in stone. You have free will. I'm just giving you a picture and a snapshot of the energies so you can decide what you want to do next.
Yeah. And I think people should always know that because, like, this is kind of off topic, but the similar thing was my grandpa told me moths lay eggs in your skin. Scared the daylights out of me.
Oh, my God.
And if you go in thinking that this is how it is no matter what, you're going to be terrified. And till you like learn that that's not the way it is. And yeah, my dad had a very good conversation with his father about that.
Talk. I can imagine.
Taught me that the right thing. And yeah, but oh my gosh, I was terrified of moths for like 7 years.
I'd still be terrified.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, no, especially since they're so darn
sure.
cute.
Yeah, yeah, thank you. anyway, yeah. So, I mean, it's all just, you know, it's a snapshot of when the reading was done. It's just the way the energies are. And now you have more information on where you want to go, what you want to do.
So it's probably a good time for us to, because you, like you said earlier, we could talk, we are going to talk
oh,
about
it's
this
true.
Forever.
It is true. We have so many more episodes, and I actually had like a whole nother page of notes to go over just on tarot. So, I mean, we've just barely scratched the surface.
Yeah. Right, right. So, I would love to hear if you want to, if you feel up to it. I would love to hear your cards for this next week.
Okay, well, through one of those times, I actually muted myself so I could shuffle my deck. The one thing I didn't really specify when I was talking about tarot, I shuffle like it's a regular deck of playing cards. I don't do anything fancy. I don't do overhand. I just shuffle them like it's a regular deck of playing cards. Always have, always will. To me, that gets my energy in the deck, gets going, gets things woken up. When I do split it into two to do the little riffle shuffle, I turn one of the halves, so I'm always putting reversals into the deck. It's just one of the things I do. I just wanted to say that before I give you my cards. So anyway, I do have three cards. I haven't turned them over yet. Ooh, this is going to be fun.
Snap.
All right, first card. Ooh, God, love that. The High Priestess comes up. So to me, this is all what we've been talking about. Your intuition. Follow your intuition. Listen to that little voice inside. It will never steer you wrong. Your intuition is trying to lead you to your higher self. So trust that voice. Wow, mm-hmm. This is starting to sound a little familiar. I got the Sun, but the Sun reversed. So second card.
On the second card? Oh, that's too funny.
Is that crazy? So for me, the Sun is the Sun shows everything. You know, in the bright sunlight, you see it all. You see the good, the cracks. You see everything. You see it all. For me, the Sun is see all that. See all the pieces, all the parts of you, all the things of you. Embrace and accept you. Because yeah. All of those things, those cracks, the scars, those things that you're not proud about, that's what makes you you, though. You've gone through those experiences, and that has helped form you. So embrace all this. With the Sun being reversed, it's all there. You're not embracing yourself. It's like, seriously, stop trying to hide. You are who you are. You got to love yourself. Love yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, shine the light on it.
Exactly.
Don't be afraid.
Shine the light. And, you know, when it's in the light, it's not scary anymore. It's out there in the open. You're fine. Enjoy. Love it. Ooh, really? Are you kidding me? Final card. Nine of Pentacles, but reversed. So Nine of Pentacles for me is building that kind of safe spot, that sanctuary. You know, it's like being, you know, a lot of this honesty of the Sun and everything, it can be a little shocking. You might need a little safe spot, a little retreat, you know, from things, from the world. Have that little spot that you can go to when the world gets overwhelming. You know, have that little space you can retreat to. You can't live there because that little safe spot becomes a prison if you try and live there. You built up the walls to keep everything out. You don't want that. You can't live like that. So it's a balance. It's a moderation. I swear if the next card is Temperance, I'm just going to, like, never record again. Okay, it's not. It wasn't Temperance, so we're good. But I won't even tell you what it was. All right, so did you pull cards? What's your kind of energy?
Yes, I did pull cards. And I think it's so funny your second card was the Sun, because that's what I have for a second card, too.
I know, so, that's why I laughed.
Yeah, no, that was spot on. And you know what the worst part about that is when I pulled that card, Ivy handed it to me, and I didn't pay attention to how she handed it to me.
Ah, okay. Wow.
So, and my brain was thinking upside down, but I was like, I'll put it up right side up. And now I'm just really questioning. I really think it was upside down. But they understand that, like, this, you know, we're talking about the second card. It's about reflecting on and making sure to accept the things that might not be what you want to, but you have to.
Yeah, exactly.
So my first card is Judgment. And, like, Judgment is about, like, spiritual awakenings, new beginnings, being honest. And, like, this is, like, kind of reflects right into the sun. It's about like self-awareness. Be aware of the journey you're taking, and it might be coming to an end, and that's okay. It'll be good. Then, of course, I had the sun. I don't know if you knew that. You might not have known that I had the sun as my second card. Again, I really do think that it was upside down, but just in case it wasn't, it's about like being happy about the things that you see, the shine a light on the things that are in your life that are positive, that are great. Uh-oh, did I lose you?
No, I'm still here. Still here, sorry.
Yeah. Oh, okay, sorry. I got a text, so I was like, uh-oh.
I'm texting you while you're talking. I'm trying to see how good you can multitask.
Oh, no, I'm terrible at multitasking, except at work. Don't do that.
Yeah, all right. I won't do it. I won't do it anymore.
My wife will tell you she does not understand how I can't multitask. I'm like, I try, but then I get, like, flabbergasted.
And then you're just, okay, all right, I'll not do that. I'll not overload you.
You're all good.
The hilarious thing is I just sent you a picture of my cards because, you know, I said I'd pull a fourth card, but I didn't tell you what it was. It was Judgment.
Oh! It was Judgment?
It was Judgment.
Oh my gosh.
I know. Is that crazy or what?
I'm still waiting. I swear, Charlie, one day we're going to pull the same cards. I just have this feeling that it's going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
I'm saying it here, episode 2, and we're going to laugh our butts off when it happens.
It will, because we won't tell each other until this part of the show, and they'll be like, wow, exact same card. All right.
So for the third card, I have the Seven of Pentacles, and I think this is funny because like all of these are really talking about like your journey, what you've done, and like paying attention to everything, like accepting everything, and then like the Seven of Pentacles is really about like refining your technique. Be patient, stay focused and determined, because you're a spider building a web. You need your web to be nice and thick so that you can catch all the things you need to catch. Now, the last card here, and this was interesting because when I originally pulled these cards, the first two cards were High Arcana. I was like, oh, whoa, and got to the last one, and it wasn't, and then because I was determined, I let my hands do the work and felt for a card, and I pulled the fourth card, the Magician. And this is about transformation. Taking control of a skill you want. Like, you can do this. And, like, we're talking not just, like, natural transformation. This is about your willpower. Put yourself there. Do what you want, because if you choose to change the way you want, you will, and you're going to get so much better as you find your confidence and skills in this.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, also realize that there are people that that make decisions based on you. So, like, pay attention to, like, how people, like, if you're a leader, lead by example. And
don't be
afraid to learn more.
Love that. That is great. Yeah, for me, the Magician's all about manifestation. You have the tools. You can produce anything you want in your life. You got to do the work.
Definitely.
I'm always like, you got to do the work, but it's there. It's there.
Right.
If you really want it, you'll do it.
So tell us about your what your interpretation of your fourth card is.
So I pulled Judgment, which is hilarious to me. So, I said, I've been reading this card more as like a rebirth, a restart. You can begin again. You can do things again. Yeah. So, and I really think it's accepting yourself. It's trusting that intuition, flipping that sun around, embracing all of the flaws, all the good, the bad. Embrace yourself. Do that, and you can start again. You can start yourself wherever you want. It's really, to me, it's really an uplifting card now. It's like you're almost there and you're almost at the end of your journey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the cards go in a cycle is how I read them. And so when you hit the World, which is the 21st card, that's the end of the cycle. You know, and then you'll start another one. It's a whole journey through the cards. any right, suit like right. that, you know, you can do a cycle, but for the majors, you know, so this is like, you're just one more step away. You're just right
and
there.
That's a great way to look at it, because a lot of people think it's point A to point B, but they don't mm-hmm. realize that point A leads right around the circle, and you call it point B, but it's still another point A too.
In a way, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's you know, point C then goes back to point A, which is actually a new point A, you know. Kind of.
Yeah, exactly. It's, yeah, that's a better way.
It's
to
more
say
than
it,
just
yeah.
A B. You know, there's right. a few more steps in there than just one, two. You know, so
did
it's
you
like,
rewind the tape before you returned it?
Yeah, that's it. Exactly. Did you? Oh, well, I don't know. God, please be rewind. Ah, I can't speak. Please be kind. Rewind.
We got to go back to Blockbuster. I owe this video for like 20 some years.
Okay, at this point, just keep it. All right. I mean, they're gonna charge you $27,000 for that copy of Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Okay.
Great movie.
It was actually.
Yeah.
Love that. All right. Okay. So I think we're probably pretty good on this. Another episode in the can. Can you believe it?
This one felt way more natural than the first one. Like they both felt natural, but this I can feel us, I can see us building and like this transforming into what it's going to be. And I'm so excited.
Yeah,
and this is an absolute pleasure, and it's so much fun.
It is. This is so much fun. Like I said, you know, I can talk tarot for hours. I could just keep going. I was trying to, like, just get through my bits because I could just keep going and going and going. I love this subject so much.
Yeah, and I'm a tangent king, so we can keep this interesting. Cause I'll go off on a tangent and, like, no problem.
That'll be it. We're gonna have to have like, a third person just to reel us in some days, I swear.
To balance it out.
We're going to have to, like, bring a guest on so they can talk.
I think that'll be so much fun.
It'll be fun. It'll be great. We have, you know, our Facebook page, which will be in the show notes. We created a Google form, a little feedback form. If there's anything that anybody wants to hear or questions they have or, you know, whatever. So I'll have that in the show notes. We're working on the website. We hope to get that up in the next couple of weeks. So we're working on the website. Should have that up very soon. And, you know, most of the stuff will be on the website. Then it would be great. You'll be able to get in touch with us if you need a reading, feedback on the show, ideas, for topics, if you want to hear us talk about, ideas for guests that maybe somebody wants, questions you have. Anything.
Don't be afraid to interact with us. Like that's what we're here to share this like insightful journey with you. And it's not fun if it's just us. Like if you have something to say, we want to hear it. So you can follow us, like us. We're on Facebook as well, The Insightful Journey. And we want to communicate back with you. So like hit us up, give us questions.
Yeah, exactly. It's all about community. It's all about thing, you know, and it'd be boring if it's just us talking about da da da. And, you know, especially after all the things we've said about how it's, you know, everybody has their own path, their own journey, their own thing. You know, let's build a community and share, and let's all just build and grow and move on.
Yeah. It takes a village. It takes a village. And we're all the children that need to be raised.
This is true. And, you know, who knows? Somebody could bring up something and be like, wow, and just who knows what it'll launch. And so, I mean, we're open to everything, and let's have some fun.
Yes.
Well, within rules.
Thank you, everybody,
within...
for listening. Yeah. Oh, sorry, dude.
That's okay. You can do a sign-off in a minute. Yeah, I should say, instead of open to everything, I mean, there are conditions on what we're open to. You know, there's... Don't be stupid is what I'm trying to say, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, don't be ignorant either, and I really, really dislike people being mean for no reason, so I'm just, if you're mean and don't want to talk, I'm going to literally ignore you. Yeah. We don't need it.
Yeah, exactly, and hey, you know, we explain kind of how we do tarot, and I mean, we're open to any way you do it. In my eyes, the only wrong way to do tarot is to not do tarot.
Yeah, Yeah.
Because there are so many. I mean, I can tell you what works for me, but, you know, what works for you is going to be something different. And so find that. Trust your intuition. Find how you do it. I like the structure of my spreads. I like things. I create new spreads. I did a full moon and a new moon spread. I'm going to have to put that up on the page and kind of show people those spreads that I do. But it's this kind of creation. This is what we do. So, I mean, share it. Let's share our journey. Let's have fun.
Definitely. That's what matters. It's like I talked about it on Facebook. Don't be afraid to play. And I'm not talking about like playing like a child. Yes, that you can do that too, but like find a way to enjoy everything.
Yeah.
Treat your the things that you could sometimes find boring, treat it like you're actually trying to play and have fun. And it will change everything. It makes things so much better.
It will. It will. It'll make your life better.
Golly, thank you, everybody. Like, we are so happy to have you listening, downloading, liking it, hearing feedback and reviews. Like, it means the world to Charlie and I, and we're so excited and can't wait to have more episodes and do this for as long as you guys want us to do it. We'll do it.
Sounds good to me. Yeah, so everyone have a wonderful time, and we will see you when we release the next episode. Everyone take care and give us your feedback.
Yep, catch you down the dusty trail. Peace.
Hey everybody, we have got a surprise announcement for you. Jameson, tell them what we've done.
Well everybody, our new website is now officially up and running, theinsightfultarot.com. You guys can check us out. We'll be updating it more and more as we go. It'll take us a few, you know, a little bit of time to get it squared away, but it is officially up and running. You'll be able to find our podcast, our Facebook page. We'll be talking and doing blogs, and really just check it out, follow it. If you have things you want to say, you can send messages through there, and then we'll be doing much, much more as it goes.
Exactly, exactly. I'm so excited that we got the website launched. It is insightfultarot.com, all one word, the insightful tarot part. I'll have it linked here in the show notes, and everybody go check it out, and please send us some feedback, give us feedback, submit questions, anything you want us to discuss, anything, everything, just interact. We're starting this, and we want it to grow.
Yes, and community is really where the key is. Like, the more we get from our listeners, from our fans, the more we can add to this to make it an enjoyable experience for everybody that listens.
Yeah, exactly. This is our project, but we want to keep everybody involved. And trust me, community feedback, perfect.